President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as you all know from your history studies, called the day of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor a date which will live in infamy. You all know your history. It was a sneak attack on the U.S. military, and it was infamous because war had not been declared by either side according to law. And I think all the more infamous must be rated the sneak attack on the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. There was no prior rattling of sabers. There was no wrangling among diplomats as preceded prior to Pearl Harbor. There was none of that, and more souls were lost in New York than at Pearl Harbor, and all the victims were civilian. Now, in our own town, our own community here in Tucson, innocents are attacked. Last Saturday was a day of infamy. Sad day. The dead of Pearl Harbor and of the World Trade Center and of Tucson were victims in the true sense of the word. And we mourn them still, and we will continue to keep them in our hearts and in our prayers and their families. You know, there's, if you ever watched any of these history channels or A&E or whatever, learning channels, I was, of course, some of you remember very vividly, but there is something unforgettable about the image of young men, some of them in their teens, trapped in the steel bowels of the USS Arizona, with water just seeping in, and eventually drowning them. And then two, very vivid is the TV images of those ordinary men and women just like you and me, falling like some small, broken, wounded bird from the sky of New York. And now we have our own images of what happened here, the victims of last week's attack. You know, victims come in other and more prevalent forms, don't they? I mean, every society, even the church, has its victims. There are the victims of child abuse and the victims of false accusations and rumors. There are the victims of hierarchical arrogance and power. There are the victims of others overlooking and undervaluation of them. And I think all of us live beside victims of street and neighborhood violence. And I know even people here present in our community who themselves are among victims. There are a lot of victims here. And if truth be told, you and I have done our share of victimization, however slight we think that victimization was or is. You know, but it all contributes to the wrong cause. Always the wrong cause. Victims, 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 victims. We have more than enough victims in this world to last another million years without creating any more victims. So let us be done with victims and victimization. I know, it's a pious hope, and I'm angry. But I suppose it is a pious hope. I'm a dreamer, and I think it has to be said. You know, the ultimate victim was my master. In today's gospel, John the Baptist points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then you can recall, as we do as Christians, bring up some of those Old Testament references that we figure that point to Jesus and say, you know, Isaiah, he was like a lamb who was led to the slaughter. He was a sheep before the shearers. He was silent and he opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away, Isaiah says, and smitten for the sin of his people. You know, history on one level is a story. It's a horrible story, isn't it, our story, in many ways. In many ways, it's a great story, I know. But in many ways, it's a sad, horrible story. It's a story of victimization. And the century, I won't go back more than a century, but last century was probably, they say, the worst. The century we just left behind, it was great, wasn't it? It was great in many ways, in great strides in technology and science, but it was massive, massive in its range of victimization. Unbelievable. I mean, it was a century of genocide from Armenia in the beginning of that century to Africa at the end of that century. It was a century of concentration camps, of slave labor camps, extermination camps. It was a century of man-made famines on a grand scale and man-made economic marginalization of hundreds of millions of God's children. It was a century of wars, liberation, civil wars, turf wars, drug wars, thug wars, street wars. And victims abounded, whether they were in uniform or not in uniform. And there were two world wars. Millions of young men uniformed died, but then tens of millions of ordinary citizens, innocent citizens, were eliminated by execution, starvation, exposure, by carpet bombing, by terror bombing, by firestorms, by atomic radiation, ethnic cleansing, and post-war revenge. This is our history. And all of these people were victims. In one way or another, they were victims. And following the victims, after all of this, were the procession of peacetime victims, of shattered economies, of joblessness, of immigration, and despairing psychology that is built into men and women and children because of them. And then late in the century, the victims, the hidden victims, those who were hidden, came into the light in great numbers. Victims of chronic sexual and domestic abuse. My brothers and sisters, is Christ to go on and on and on this way? Forever as a victim in the cynical abuse of his brothers and sisters? I don't know. Will we ever be done with it? Once and for all? It's 2,000 years since Christianity. Where's the message? What is the Christian message? So go out there and tell the world that this kind of history has to end. This is the kind of history that created the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that crucified that compassionate, peaceful, nonviolent, gentle Christ, and that history continues to crucify him. And then tell them yourselves, once and for all, that if you're a Christian is someone who cannot, in conscience, create victims, whether it is by what you say, the language you use, or support those who do, or by the actions or the inactions that you do not take that create those situations. Because as Thomas Merton said many years ago, we're all guilty bystanders. Why hasn't it stopped? When will it stop? In the gospel today, we're told that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. It does not say he came to take away your sins and you get off the hook. It says he came to take away the sin of the world. The sin he takes away, from what I understand, is our ignorance, our unconsciousness as human beings. That's the original sin, is not being who we were called to be. That's the original sin. It's ignorance of who we are as God's children. We are not separate from God, nor are we separate from one another. When we don't know that truth, once a person doesn't realize who they are, then all these other sins will follow, because you can then destroy anybody and anything because they're separate than you. I talked about that last week. You know, you're not acting from your highest level. You're not acting according to your true nature. And that is the divine essence that's in you and that's in one another. So when is the violence going to end? You know, for me, I don't know. I really don't. I won't see the end of it. You won't see the end of it. It's going to start right back up. But the violence will only end, I think, when, like Jesus, you know, each of us comes to realize, as he did, that God is the essence of our being, that God dwells in our hearts, that the doors to love's presence is an open heart and an open mind. And it appears that no amount of preaching, no amount of teaching will ever cause us to know this truth. Because I think it's been being preached now for quite a while. I'm not the first to do it. And so it's been going on and on. So it can't be a head knowledge. Or is it just, we just so forgetful of who we are? It's a heart knowledge. It's a knowing, a true knowing of who you are and who another person is. And if you knew who you were and they were, you would not harm them. You would not hurt them. You would love them. You would have compassion on them, and they would have a compassion on you. Christ tells us that he came to set us free. This is the whole purpose of Christ's coming. He says the truth will set you free. I'm going to say this again. He wasn't talking about abstract truth. He wasn't talking about a God concept, for God's sakes. He died for what he lived for. And that was the kingdom of heaven on earth. The truth is, we are one in Christ. In our deepest self, your deepest self, and the one sitting next to you is God. So for Christ's sake, let's end the violence. Stop the madness. Start treating each other as God's children, incarnating God's compassion. So when was this spiral of violence going to end? Anytime soon? Well, I don't know. But it can end with you, can it? It can end with me. I don't have to partake in all this stuff. I I think we have to put on the mind of Christ. Follow him. I'm not following anyone else. I don't care who they are. I don't follow them. Follow Christ and his teachings, because his is a path that, yeah, leads to eternal life. But in this life, it's a path of compassion, a path of nonviolence. It's a peaceful, loving path. It's time we follow it, and not somebody else's.